But I do think today that we've become a tamer, safer culture. And because of that, maybe, just maybe, we've lost some of our sense of adventure. I mean, have you ever wondered why reality TV shows are so popular? Maybe it's because we have become tamer, we have become safer, we have become more comfortable, and we're living through vicariously through people on a screen. Think about our faith for a minute. When you read in the Bible, you read in the book of Acts, you see these incredible things happening, and then you look at maybe our faith here in North America. As your journey, your faith journey becomes safe and tame and comfortable? Have you lost some of the adventure of that excitement of your early journey of following Jesus? Well, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four stories from the amazing life of Elijah. And it's my prayer as we look at these stories, that these stories will build and will stretch and ignite your faith, causing us, causing you, causing me, maybe to take some leaps of faith. Let me briefly this morning introduce Elijah to you and then tell you a little bit about how he became a prophet. Some people get Elijah confused with Elijah. Elijah is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. He was bold, he was daring, he was full of faith. You probably know Elijah way better than you know Elisha. Elijah was the guy who on Mount Carmel confronted the prophets of Baal and brought down fire from heaven. Elijah lived during the 9th century. He was born and raised in the Jordan River Valley, where his family had a farming enterprise. Now, back then, most farms were very small, and they would have a single plow and one set of oxen. But Elijah's family had 12 sets of oxen, and they had farmhands to help plow the fields. So that would tell us that probably Elijah's family was fairly well off. But other than the fact that his family was fairly well off, Elijah appears to be a very ordinary guy. He wasn't the son of a priest. He wasn't some sort of spiritual giant. He wasn't a miracle worker or a sage. He was just an ordinary guy working on the family farm when God called him to a new role. And in that new role, as we will see, Elijah would perform more miracles in the Bible than anyone, with the exception of Jesus. And it all started in a farm field. Let me read to you from 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me read a few verses. "Anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. So Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, rather than ran after Elijah and said to him, 'First let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you.' Elijah replied, 'Go on back, but think about what I have done to you.'" Elisha was plowing a field with 12 sets of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Now, you can imagine that plowing was and is backbreaking and stinky work. When you're plowing, what do you smell? Oxen. What do you look at? Oxen rear. What do you step in? Oxen poop. And for Elisha, this life of farming would not only have been backbreaking, but it would have been routine, it would have been safe, it would have been comfortable, albeit smelly. I mean, think about it. You wake up, you get dressed, you drive the oxen, you eat lunch, you drive the oxen, you clean up, you go for dinner, you go to bed, you wake up, and you go drive the oxen again. Very predictable. And maybe that describes your life this morning, minus the oxen part, probably. But maybe your life is safe and comfortable and routine. I was thinking this week, this is a bit of a tangent, but I wanted to share it with you anyway, that too many Christ followers in North America make decisions that are based on comfort and security and routine rather than on what Jesus is calling them to do. You know, as I have conversations with people, often the conversations about their job, well, I took that job because it's got a good pension. I took that job because it's a secure job. Very seldom do I hear a Christ follower say, I took that job because Jesus called me to take that job. And oftentimes I think even as Christ followers, we can live very self-focused lives rather than very Jesus-focused lives. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it because Jesus has called you to do it? Or are you doing it because it's safe and comfortable and secure? So here we have Elisha. He's plowing away. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away, God is talking about Elisha behind his back. And God has amazing plans for Elisha. And so God says to Elijah, the great prophet, this. He says, anoint Elisha to replace you as my prophet. Now, no one had to tell Elijah who Elijah was. Everyone in all of Israel knew about the prophet Elijah. They knew what happened on Mount Carmel. And one day, the prophet Elijah shows up at Elisha's farm. And this happens. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. Let me read it to you again. Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Now, that's a strange scene, right? Here you are, you're plowing, and the great prophet Elijah comes up to you, takes his cloak off, puts it on your shoulders, and keeps walking. What's that all about? Well, Elijah's cloak would have been made out of animal skin or fur. It was his covering. And placing his cloak on Elisha would be like a king giving his scepter to his son. It was a sign of calling. When Elijah put his cloak over Elisha's shoulders, he was symbolically saying, that which covered me will now cover you. That which I am under, you will now be under. You will be my student, and I will be your mentor. As God has been working through me, now God is going to start working through you. Elisha, you weren't meant to spend the rest of your life staring aimlessly at oxen rears. God has something else for you. You're going to be a prophet. Now, imagine you're Elisha in that moment. You just had a cloak of animal fur put on your shoulders, and the great prophet is walking away. You know what that means? You've got to make a decision. And in that moment, Elisha had a decision to make. Was he going to choose the life God had called him to, or was he going to spend his life plowing the fields? Would he play it safe? Would he play it tame? Would he play it comfortable? Or would he walk away from it all and follow God into an unknown future? Elisha had a choice to make. And you notice something? He had very little information on which to make that choice. Elijah didn't have a conversation with him. He just came, put his cloak on, and kept on walking. And now Elisha has to make a decision without a lot of information. Have you ever noticed in your faith journey that when God asks you to do something, he rarely gives you many of the details? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that as you read through Scripture? That often when God asks or calls someone to do something, he gives them very little information? Abraham, this old guy in the Old Testament, is called by God to leave everything and to go to the land that God will show him. God says, Abraham, go to the land. I will show you. And then God abruptly stops talking. Abraham, just go. You don't know where you're going. Trust me. Just go. God didn't give Abraham a roadmap. He didn't give him a GPS unit. Only Abraham, go. And you know, there was good reason why God didn't give Abraham a navigational system. It's because God wanted to be Abraham's navigational system. He was trying to teach Abraham how to walk by faith. And he's trying to teach each of us the same thing. In your life, where is God asking you to walk by faith? In your life, where is God asking you to step out in faith? Where is he asking you to walk by faith? Maybe you're in a struggling marriage. Is God asking you to walk by faith in that? What about with your finances? Is God asking you to walk by faith? What about your career? Is God asking you to walk by faith? Where is God in your life calling you to walk by faith? You might not have all the information, but God's asking you to do something. God's asking you to step out in faith. God's asking you to walk by faith. Where in his life is God asking you to do that? And how are you responding? Well, back to Elijah. In verse 20, we see his decision. Elijah left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, "First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." Elijah decided to immediately obey, and he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah. Now, why did he have to run? Because Elijah was walking away. And he catches up to the prophet and he says, "Would it be all right if I went and kissed my parents goodbye first?" Elijah was a faithful son. He wanted to say goodbye to mom and dad. And he does that. Then look what he does in verse 21. This is crazy. So Elijah returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went to Elijah as his assistant. Notice what he did with the oxen. He slaughtered them and served them up. He threw himself a going away party. But also notice that Elijah didn't just barbecue the oxen. You notice what else he did? He burned the plows. Perfectly good plows. He burned them. Why? I mean, you can understand, if you look at the Bible, why Elisha might slaughter the oxen. Symbolically, whenever God asked somebody to do something, people would make a sacrifice. Remember in the prodigal son in Luke 15, when the son comes home, the father says, "Let's party. Kill the fattened calf. Let's have a village party." So we can understand that Elijah was called by God to do something amazing, and he wanted to offer a sacrifice and throw a party before he left. We understand all that, but why burn the plows? Because this isn't a story about plows and oxen. This is a story about following God. When Elisha burned his plows and slaughtered his oxen, He was making a statement of faith and obedience, probably as much to himself as to anyone else. You see, by burning the plows, Elisha was saying, "There's no turning back. There's no plan B. I'm giving up the family farm for an unpaid internship with an itinerant prophet. I'm all in." Burning his plows symbolized his decision to follow God's call. Elisha would always be able to look back in the future and say, "I remember when I went all in because I killed the oxen and I burned the plows." That's his symbol. He knew. Whenever he would doubt his call, he would look back and go, "I remember that fire. That day I went all in." Remember in the New Testament, the prostitute who came to Jesus and anointed his feet with perfume? She broke open that alabaster jar. That action didn't save her, but it was a dramatic action that was evidenced of her decision to follow Jesus. She gave her most precious possession to him. Not only was it valuable, but it was also part of her sex appeal. It was part of her trade. And breaking it open was a way of burning her plows. She was giving up her former life. She was pouring out her jar of perfume on Jesus' feet. She was all in to a new way of living. There's an amazing story in Acts chapter 19 of a revival that takes place in Ephesus. And during this revival, those who practiced sorcery burned their scrolls publicly. What's amazing is you look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 19, you see how valuable these scrolls were that they burnt. It says the value of the books was several million dollars. They could have sold the scrolls and pocketed the money. But instead, they took a multi-million dollar plus action to symbolize that they were going all in, that they were turning from their sorcery, and they were going all in to following Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, what would it mean for you to burn your plows and go all in? What would that look like in your life if you were to burn your plows and go all in? Let me share a couple of stories with you of people who have done that. There's a picture coming up, I think, right there. And the lady on your right, I don't remember her name. The lady on the left is Elia. She is a missionary in Vicente Guerrero, amazing lady. And we went to her little base that she has, Elia has, and we met this lady, and this lady shared her testimony with us. And when she was in jail, she found Jesus. And in that moment that she decided to follow Jesus, she experienced amazing rejection. All the other prisoners in the jail rejected her because she was a follower of Jesus. She took abuse because she was a follower of Jesus. But she'd made a decision to go all in. When she got out of jail, her family rejected her because of her faith. And she ended up at Elia's place, and Elia accepted her. But what's amazing when you hear this woman's testimony is you hear her speak about Jesus with such passion and love. She made a decision to follow Jesus and go all in, and because of that, she experienced rejection. In Victoria here, there's a business, and at Level Ground Trading, you may have heard of them. If you were at the Good Friday service, you heard Stacy, he's the businessman, one of the co-owners of the company, speak about, pray about doing business the kingdom way. And that company has decided to do business the kingdom way. They said, we're all in following Jesus, and we're going to be all in how Jesus would run our business. And it's vastly different than many businesses are run. I have a friend who's a businessman. I won't mention his name, but I have a friend who's a businessman, and his whole idea is, when we make money in our company, it's not for us, it's for Jesus and his kingdom. We're all in our company in serving Jesus and giving our profits to him to make a difference in his kingdom. How about Megan Carr, who was up here a couple of weeks ago? A young lady, single young lady, says, I'm all in for following Jesus. I'm going to Tunisia because God's called me there. I'm burning my plows and I'm heading to Africa. This story I shared with you a while ago, but I want to share it again this morning. A century ago, there was a brave band of people who became known as one-way missionaries. And they purchased one-way tickets to the mission field. Instead of suitcases, they packed all their belongings in a coffin that they would one day be buried in. And as they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved. They knew they would never return. They burned their plows. They'd gone all in. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries, and he set sail for the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there that he was going to minister to had martyred every missionary before him. And yet Milne did not fear for his life because he'd already died to Jesus. His coffin was packed. And for 35 years, he lived amongst that tribe and he loved them. And when he died, the tribe members buried him in the middle of the village and they inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be great if people said of you, when he or she came, to our school, to our workplace, to our neighborhood, to our sports team. There was no light. But when he or she left, there was no darkness. To have that kind of impact, you need to go all in. What would it look like for you to go all in following Jesus? Today, it's easy to think we're following Jesus, but in reality, we've invited Jesus to follow us. I want you to think about that this week in your life. Are you following Jesus, or have you invited Jesus to follow you? If you were to start following Jesus all in, what would it look like? What would it look like if you followed Jesus rather than having Jesus follow you? What would it look like for you to go in all in? Now, I'm not saying we all got to pack up and go to Africa. That's not what I'm saying. Calm down. Though, God may lead you there, like he's leading the Krons and like he led Megan. But what would it look like for you to go all in for Jesus at school? What would it look like for you to go all in for Jesus at work? What would that look like? What would happen if you made an all-in commitment to Jesus? Is he calling you to do that? I think he's calling all of us to do that. See, we think all in for Jesus is radical. The Bible says all in for Jesus is normal. What would it look like for you to make an all-in commitment like Elisha made? And here's my second question. Is there an action you need to take to symbolize that all-in decision? What action do you need to take that will symbolize your decision to go all in? What plow do you need to burn, metaphorically? Don't go burn your house down or something. But what action do you need to take that will symbolize your decision to go all in? So years later, you can look back and say, that marks the time when I went all in for Jesus. What action do you need to take that will symbolize your desire to go all in for Jesus? For Elijah, it was burning the plows, slaughtering the oxen. For the guys in sorcery, it was burning millions of dollars worth of scrolls. For the prostitute, it was pouring the perfume. What is it for you? What action do you need to take that you will remember years later as a defining moment when you decided to go all in for Jesus? Elijah could have spent his entire life farming. He could have played it safe instead of stepping out on faith. He could have stayed with the family. He could have stayed with the family wealth instead of taking a huge financial hit. He could have kept plowing the fields instead of following the call of God. But what an adventure he would have missed if he'd chosen to stay behind the oxen. All in to follow God's call. And you know what else that did? Years later, when he was a prophet, maybe there were moments when he was a prophet and he was wondering what he got himself into, he could look back and say, I remember. I remember when I burned my plows and went all in. Burning his plows would always remind him in future years that he made a decision to go all in to God's call. He isn't the only one that's done that kind of thing. Remember in the New Testament, this prostitute comes to Jesus and anoints his feet with expensive perfume. She breaks open this alabaster jar of perfume and just pours it all over his feet. That dramatic action was evidence of her decision to follow Jesus. She gave Jesus her most precious possession. Not only was it very valuable, and it was also part of her sex appeal, which was part of her job as a prostitute. And breaking it open was her way of burning her plows. She was giving up her former life by pouring a jar of perfume on Jesus' feet. She was all in to this new way of living. And then in Acts 19, there's this amazing story of this revival that takes place in Ephesus, and those that practice sorcery burned their scrolls publicly. And that doesn't sound like a big deal. Okay, I'm going to start following Jesus. I was practicing sorcery. I'm going to burn my scrolls. But in Acts 19, verse 19, it says, the value of the books was several million dollars. They could have sold the scrolls and pocketed the money. But instead, these people who have been practicing sorcery and now we're going to follow Jesus, they burned the scrolls. They burned several million dollars as a way of saying, we're all in. And years later, they would be able to look back and say, we're all into following Jesus because we remember when we had that multi-million dollar bonfire. So let me ask you a couple of questions tonight. Here's the first one. What would it mean for you to burn your plows and go all in to following Jesus? What would that look like in your life for you to burn your plows and go all in to following Jesus? What would be the consequences of that? Let me share you just a few stories of people that have gone all in. Here's the first one. It's coming up. Throw up the next slide there, Luke. The lady on your left is Elia. She's an amazing missionary down in Vicente Guerrero. The lady on your right, I cannot remember her name, but when we visited Elia a few weeks ago, she had this lady share her testimony with us. And this lady went to jail a few years ago. And when she was in jail, she found Jesus. And when she proclaimed Jesus, the people in the prison rejected her and basically abused her. And when she got out of jail, she went to her family, and her family totally and completely rejected her because she decided to follow Jesus. And so she went to Elia's place, and Elia, of course, accepted her in a graceful and loving way. But this lady, when she decided to go all in to following Jesus, it cost her. She was rejected in prison. She was rejected by her family. But when you hear her speak about Jesus, there is a love and a passion for Jesus and a fire burning in her soul for Jesus like very few people you meet. She'd gone all in. Level Ground Trading is an amazing coffee company here in town. It's run by two guys who are strong Christ followers. If you were at Good Friday, you heard Stacy, one of the co-founders of Level Ground, pray a blessing for businesses in our city. But Level Ground has said, we're going to go all in for running a business like Jesus would run it. Doesn't matter to us what the cost is in doing that. We're going all in to run a business like Jesus would run a business. And they run a business different than most businesses. Another business friend of mine owns a business here in town, said to me, he said, you know, Steve, my partner and I, and it's not this company, it's another one, we take our profits and we pour them into the kingdom around the world. When we make profit in our business, we're all into following Jesus. And so when we make these profits, we don't use them to buy a bigger house, a nicer car. We use them to make a kingdom difference around this world. You see, my friend and his partner are all into following Jesus, and they go, because of that, we're going to use our profits in a different way. Several years ago, I left the ambulance service. And when I left the ambulance service to come here as a youth pastor 25 years ago now, I had to go all in. And I had to say, I'm making a change. I'm leaving a career, a stable career, a comfortable career, a career with a pension, a career that I loved, actually. And yet God's calling me to do this. And I had an Elisha moment. Do I stay working as a paramedic or do I follow God's call into an unknown future? And I obviously chose to follow after God's call. It's been a great journey. And the journey continues. But there was a moment in my life where I had to go all in. And there's going to be a moment in your life where you have to go all in. We heard from Megan Carr a few weeks ago, a single young lady who says, God has put it on my heart to go to Tunisia. She's a teacher. She could stay here, get a nice, comfortable job teaching, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But God, that she could do that. But God said, no, Megan, I want you to go to Africa. And Megan said, I'm all in. I'm going there for my life. That reminds me of a story. I've shared it with you before. I share it again tonight. A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. And they purchased one-way tickets to the mission field. And instead of suitcases, they packed all their belongings in a coffin, the coffin that they would one day be buried in. And as they left from the port, they waved goodbye to everybody they loved because they knew they'd never return. They burned their plows and they'd gone all in. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries, and he set sail for a village in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who had lived there had martyred every missionary before him. And yet Milne did not fear for his life because he'd already died to himself. His coffin was packed. For 35 years, he lived among that tribe, and he loved them. And when he died, those tribe members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Isn't that awesome? What would it be like for people to say of you, when he or she came to our school, to our university, to our workplace, to our neighborhood, to our sports team, when he or she came, there was no light, but when he or she left, there was no darkness. What would it take for Jesus to use you like that? What it would take is an all-in commitment on your part. What would it look like for you to go all in following Jesus? What I'm about to say, I want you to reflect on this week. Today, it's easy to think we're following Jesus, but in reality, we've invited Jesus to follow us. I want you to think about that this week. As you go through your life this week, are you following Jesus, or have you invited Jesus to follow you? What would it look like for you to really follow Jesus? What would it look like if you followed Jesus rather than having Jesus follow you? What would it look like for you to go all in? Now, God is probably not going to ask you to go to Africa. He might, but he might not. But what would it look like for you to go all in for Jesus in your school, in your university, in your sports team, in your workplace? What would happen if you made an all-in commitment? And we go, man, that would be so radical. I mean, people that have radical faith make all-in commitments. We think that way. You know what the Bible says? People that make all-in commitments are normal. The normal expectation of Jesus is that we would make an all-in commitment to following him. Have you made that kind of commitment? Jesus wants you to. And here's my second question. Is there an action you need to take to symbolize your all-in commitment? What plow do you need to burn? What action could you take that would symbolize your all-in commitment so that years later you can look back and say, I remember, because of that action, on that day, I made an all-in commitment to Jesus. What action do you need to take so that years down the road you can remember your all-in commitment? For Elisha, it was burning the plows. For the prostitute, it was pouring out the perfume. For the guys coming out of sorcery, it was burning the scrolls. What is it for you? What action do you need to take so that years later you can say, I remember when I made that all-in commitment? Elisha could have lived his entire life farming. He could have played it safe instead of stepping out in faith. He could have stayed with the family wealth rather than taking a huge financial hit. He could have kept plowing his fields instead of following the call of God. But if he'd done that, he would have missed an unbelievable adventure with God. During his 60 years as a prophet, Elijah performed 28 miracles that are recorded in the Bible. That's twice as many as Elijah performed. If he hadn't left his plows that day and followed, he would have missed a lot. You know, when I look at my life, and I think the same thing, if I hadn't left that day and followed God, I would have missed seeing God work in some unbelievable ways in my life. We can play it safe instead of stepping out in faith. We can hoard our money rather than give it. We can keep plowing our fields instead of following the call of God. But in doing so, we will be forfeiting an amazing journey filled with some incredible miracles. What is God calling you to do? Who is God calling you to be? Are you responding with fear or with faith? Are you willing to walk into an unknown future with God rather than choose the safe, the comfortable, the tame? Are you willing to go all in to following Jesus? The answer is yes. Then think to yourself, what action do I need to take so that I can remember that all-in commitment? And once you go all in, as we'll see in the future weeks, the adventure begins.